Want to begin this sermon by sharing with you all that this was a very hard sermon for me to work through this week. I lost one of my roommates from college last weekend, and so I'm still very much in the midst of finding Jesus when things go wrong. So please bear with me if I do get emotional. I'm going to try my very best not to. But I also want to be sensitive to the fact that I'm sure that there are people in this very room that are going through their own trials, and I want you to know that I sympathize with you and I pray for you. We don't always show the world our hurt, our sorrow, and our pain, but God knows every part of it. He is present with you and me, and He walks with us in the darkest of nights and the lowest of valleys. So if you hear me say nothing else in this sermon today, I want you to hear this. When things go wrong, Jesus is right there beside you, walking with you, holding your hand, carrying you, pulling you forward, and cheering you on. And I want you to know that truth deep down in your spirit, because there will come a day when something will shake you to your core. But that truth that Jesus loves you will carry you, and it will never leave you. And that remains in the midst of hurt, in the midst of sorrow, and in the midst of grief. Our text today is from John chapter 11, and if you want to, you can turn there with me. We're going to first be looking at verses 1 through 6, and so we're going to be breaking it up into sections. And this is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I want to begin with verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When they heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's not for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Immediately, we have to stop and ask the question, why did Jesus not come when Mary and Martha called for him? He knew that there was a great need, and he knew that Lazarus was probably going to die. So why would the Son of God, who has the power to heal, decide to stay where he was for 2 more days while his friend was dying? His delay had a purpose, for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified through it. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute, but can you imagine being Mary and Martha, sending word to Jesus and expecting him to come, knowing full well that all at once he could heal their brother? Yet he chose to stay. Romans 8:28 tells us, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." We don't always know why things happen the way that they do, and we're not supposed to. We're not God, after all. We're not privileged to have an all-knowing mind, but the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the beginning and the end, knows all things. And in trusting God, we have to trust that he works all things out for our good. I came across this picture the other day, and I should have had it put up on the screen for you, but I didn't think about that till just now. But I came across this picture the other day, and it said at the top, "Plans for my life." And it had an arrow and a straight line going all the way across the picture. That's not how life works. There are ups and downs and turns and speed bumps, roadblocks, potholes, and all kinds of things that get in our way before we cross that finish line. But you know what? God knows the path. He knows everything you will face, and He will walk right beside you each step of the way. I want to continue in our text with verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, but perhaps one of the most powerful. Many scholars have shared input on why they believe that Jesus wept. Some say he wept because he was sad Lazarus had died. A natural conclusion there. Some believe he was sad because he had to call Lazarus back out of heaven. I think Jesus wept because he knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He stayed with them regularly when he came to town to visit. They were his friends, and he knew their stories. And in the midst of their sorrow and despair, he joined them in those emotions. Broken as Mary and Martha were, he chose to sit with them in darkness and to weep with them. On Thursday of this past week, my friend Kelly and I went to our friend Kelsey's memorial service in Brevard, North Carolina. I will admit to you, on the way to the service, I was very curious about what the preacher would say. Kelsey was our friend who had passed away, and she had been struggling. And although none of us knew the exact depth of how hard life had become for her, on Saturday, March 18th, she chose to end that struggle by taking her life. We don't understand when things like this happen. There are no answers because it doesn't make sense. Kelsey was supposed to turn 30 next week. Her mom and dad were not meant to be at her funeral, but on Thursday afternoon, there we all sat, gathered around as family and friends, so many who had been impacted by Kelsey's life. The preacher got up on the stage and he addressed the congregation by saying, "Today is hard, and today is not supposed to be this way." And he asked us to open our Bibles, and he said, "Turn to John chapter 11. And he said, "What did Jesus do when Lazarus died?" He wept. He wept with his sisters who just lost their brother. He wept for Lazarus because he was no longer on this earth. And he wept because his heart was sad too. I want to remind you this morning that if you're going through a hard time, know that Jesus weeps with you. He knows the outcome of every decision we will ever make, and yet he chooses to sit with us in the brokenness, in the heartache, in the pain. When hard things happen, when things that aren't supposed to happen, he is there with us, and he never leaves our side. Turning to the text once again for the final few verses, it says this: Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet and hands wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" The glory of God in the story of Lazarus is that Jesus, the Son of God, is victorious over death. He was preparing these people for what was to come, his own death on the cross. He brought Lazarus back from the grave, and before Jesus calls Lazarus to come out, he prays, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus knew that he had the power to raise Lazarus from the grave, but he stops and takes time to acknowledge the Heavenly Father in the midst of all of this. Because God was present and God had heard his prayers. God always hears us and God always answers our prayers. It may not be the way we want them to be answered, and it may not be in the timeline in which we want them answered, but we can trust in the glory of God, that he is always with us, and that we will never be separated from him and his love for us. Romans 8, 6 through 11 tells us, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of this Spirit who lives in you." As Christian people, we are called to live in the realm of the Spirit. And in the realm of the Spirit, it does not matter what happens to us while we are on this earth, in this earthly body made of flesh. Because in the end, this body will die, but our spirits get to live in heaven forever. You see, we have this hope as Christian people because we know that Jesus was victorious over death. And in that victory, we can rejoice because we are no longer people of the flesh, but people of the Spirit. I have to close with this last thought for today. I told you I struggled all week with this sermon. I didn't want my brokenness to cloud what the text was saying and what God was trying to reveal to us today. But on Thursday, when I was at Kelsey's service, and the preacher got up there and he said, "Please turn in your Bible to John chapter 11, it became clear. When things go wrong, not if, but when, because we live in a broken world, when things go wrong, Jesus is there with you. And I want to tell you this morning, because I don't want to ever miss an opportunity to speak this word over dear friends. Jesus loves you. He loves you and he wants you to feel his love. He wants to sit with you in the moments of sadness and grief, and he weeps with you in your brokenness. This life is not easy, but the good news is we don't have to travel through this world alone. Jesus goes with us, and the hope that we cling to today, the glory of God that we will celebrate in here just 2 short weeks, is that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary for the sin of you and for me. And then 3 days later, he rolled away the stone and walked out of that grave because death could not hold him. This is our hope. This is our comfort. And this is our reminder that when things go wrong, Jesus is always with us. May you feel his presence with you today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you that you walk with us all the days of our lives. In the dark places of brokenness, you are there. In the happy moments of great joy and celebration, you are there. Help us to feel your presence among us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, I hope that you leave here feeling encouraged, knowing that Jesus goes with you and that Jesus is always with you. We're now going to sing our hymn of invitation, and if you have a decision to make or you need to spend some time this morning talking with the Lord, please make time to do that now.